Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. We also encourage you to listen to our new TV program, Searching the Scriptures. It airs from 8 to 8:30 on Sunday mornings on Public Access Channel number 6. Please give a listen. We hope that it will be edifying to you. We also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You will find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We also have copies of all of our radio broadcasts on our website, plus our TV program. So, go out there and take a look. We encourage you also to come and study and worship God with us at our meeting times, and they will be given at the end of this broadcast. We want you to know that you will always be welcome and warmly received. The last few weeks, and beginning in April, we're beginning to go through an overview of the Bible, and we're trying to give you an overview of how the Bible is put together in order to give you a better understanding of where you might look for certain information if you wanted to know about a particular subject. We have thus far covered the books of law and the books of history. This morning, we will endeavor to cover the books of wisdom and poetry. The books of wisdom and poetry are contained in the Old Testament, and they are five. They begin with Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Songs of Solomon. The book of Job is a very well-known book. It was written by a very wealthy man who, in a very short period of time, lost everything. And he lost everything because Satan was testing him. He was trying to test him to see if God would, as God said, man would be faithful even if he had adversity, or Satan argument was that man's only faithful to God because God's good to him. And so Job was only faithful because God blessed him. But if God allowed Satan to take the things away from him and would also personally attack Job, then he would curse God and he would reject God. And so God allows him to do so without the taking of his life. And so in the first two chapters. First, in the first chapter, his prosperity is taken away from him, and yet at the end, he worships God and says that he brought nothing in the world or carried nothing on, and blessed be the name of the Lord. And then in chapter 2, he attacks his personal health. And again, he keeps his integrity, even though his wife says to curse God and die. In Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, he rebukes her, and yet he remains committed to God. But that doesn't mean that Job didn't have some questions. And the remainder of the book is based upon some friends of Job's that come to comfort him, and they try to convince him that he's suffering because he's a sinner and because he's done some great sin. And Job refuses to accept that because he knows that he's tried to do what's right with God. And one of the things that he does during this exchange between the friends is he wants a conversation with God. He wants an audience with God. He knows if he could talk to God, he can make his case, and then he would better understand. Well, you know the old saying, sometimes we better be careful what we ask for. Because Job got what he asked for, beginning in Job 38. And beginning in that chapter, Job gets the audience with God, but God begins to question Job about the great things that he's done, and where was Job when he was doing them, and to get him to answer the things why they are the way they are, and if Job knows the answer. And Job is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and finally he says he'll put his hand over his mouth and he won't say anything else. And then at the end of the book of Job, we see that he's blessed again and he receives more than he had when he began. But again, remember, Job never knew about the test. He remained faithful to God. So really, God is right. Man can be faithful to God even in adversity. Even though he suffers, he can still praise and thank God and be faithful even in difficult times. That's what the book's about, the challenge between God and Satan. That leads us to the book of Psalms. Psalms are 150. These 150 Psalms were songs that were sung by the Israelites as in their service to God. And 73 or 74 of them were written by David. And they are varied in subject matter. So David writes a great deal about the remorse that he had because of his sins in his personal life. and his thankfulness for God for his forgiveness and his willingness to remove iniquity and to blot it out, and his thankfulness for that. He also regrets the sin that he committed, and it's ever before him, as he writes in Psalms 51. And then you have Psalms of comfort, like Psalms 23, probably the most well-known psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," and it's a psalm of great comfort in time of distress and disappointment. We also have psalms that have a lot to say about the Word of God and about the value of God's Word, especially the 119th Psalm. The 119th Psalm is 176 verses, and each of them is a stanza of the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, and each of the stanzas, there are 22 of them, they each talk about a different phase and the good that the Word of God does. And then we have many psalms that are historical, that tell about the events of the past, that reiterate the things that God had done through his people. And again, these psalms were songs that were sung by the Israelites in their service and in their worshiping God. That leads us to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book written by the wise man Solomon. And the book of Proverbs is a book of wise sayings. And the first wise saying is, in Proverbs 1 and verse saying, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And we see that knowledge is very valuable if it is based upon truth, if it is based upon God's Word. And in the book of Proverbs, Solomon touches on many things. Talks about the raising of children, talks about the tongue, talks about wisdom, talks about the foolishness of being too quick to speak. He also talks about how we choose our friends and our companions. He talks about the tongue and the dangers of it. There are many different subjects are touched on in the book of Proverbs. And these wise sayings can help us better understand why God's ways are better than man's ways. And then the last proverb is very well known, Proverbs 31. It's the wise wife, or the wonderful woman, the precious woman, beginning in Psalms 31 verse 10. And it's a very well-known psalm about the value of a good woman. And so the Proverbs are wise sayings that would be well for any of us to look and to remember that they were given by the inspiration of God. And these pearls of wisdom can help us in the decisions and choices we make in our life. That leads us to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes is a very, very interesting book. It is called the preacher. That's what Ecclesiastes means. And the book of Ecclesiastes is answering the question, what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? Why were we put here? What can bring us happiness? What can bring us contentment? What can bring us fulfillment? And it's written by Solomon, a man that was in a position of power, of authority, had great wealth, had great wisdom, had the opportunity to experience and enjoy everything this world has to offer. And at the end of his life, he reflects back on this experiment that he had to try to find happiness and meaning of life and purpose in all the things that the world can offer you. And what he said 37 times in the book is this: vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, why did he say that? He said that because he was looking strictly from an earthly vantage point. When one tries to find true happiness and contentment and understanding of the meaning of life, strictly based on human wisdom, strictly based on what is here and what he can participate of here, he will find emptiness. He will find nothing of lasting value. He will find something that has no profit. He will find things that will bring him pain and will not answer the question that he needs an answer to. Why? Because there's nothing new under the sun. It seems like a monotonous cycle of life if you only look from the human vantage point. Solomon understands that he made one grave mistake. And the grave mistake that he made, he realizes that toward the end of the book, when he says, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You see, if a man leaves God out of his thinking, if he leaves God out of the equation, he's left a very big piece out, and he will never find happiness, contentment, and the meaning of life. Ecclesiastes is important because it has already tried something that millions of people are trying today. to find happiness in things, in possessions, in pleasure, in possessions and in other things in this life, and they all end up coming up empty. Why? Because that's not where the answers can be found. And so one needs to study the book of Ecclesiastes to understand what this true meaning of life and what can give it real meaning and purpose and what can bring us contentment and fulfillment and give us true happiness on earth. One needs to study the book of Ecclesiastes. That leads to the last book of the books of wisdom and poetry, and that's the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon is a very unique book. It's 8 chapters long, and it's about the love between a man and a woman. It's about the unique relationship that God blessed man and woman in this marital relationship. And it shows how true love wins out over lust or all over desire. And it uses the example in the book of Solomon and the love that a handmaiden had for him and for a shepherd boy. And it shows that true love wins out over all the things that the king could offer her. She chose rather to give her love to someone that gave her true love. The book of Songs of Solomon has once been said that you need to be 30 years old, over 30 years old to read it, because it emphasizes a great deal the special type of love that exists between a man and a woman in marriage. It is the sexual part of the responsibility that men and women have to one another in the marriage relationship, and the beauty of that marriage relationship and the pleasure that God designed into that relationship for the benefit of both man and the woman. And so it is a very beautiful psalm and a very beautiful song when you read it that way and understand that there are things that God designed for the betterment of man and for the fulfillment and the fulfillment for both man and the woman. And one can read that in the book of the Song of Solomon. And so you have the 5 books of wisdom and prophecy: the book of Psalms, the book of Job, the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. These are books of wisdom and of poetry. Poetry, especially in the book of Psalms, when a lot of it is written in a poetic form. But there are some very powerful lessons. Matter of fact, many of the songs that are sung today, religious, spiritual songs, have their foundation in the book of Psalms. There are many songs that are sung that are based upon the words and the teachings that are contained in the book of Psalms. And so, thus far, we have looked at the 5 books of law, the first 5 books of the Old Testament. We've looked at the 12 books of history that follow it, Joshua through the book of Esther. And then we have looked at the 5 books of poetry and wisdom that we discussed today. That puts us next to look at the major prophets. The 5 major prophets that are contained in the books of prophets, which are 17, but the next 5 will be the major prophets, and Lord willing, we will look at them next week, and we will try to glean the lessons that we can learn from the teaching and the writings of the major prophets. Understand that all these words in these books is given by the inspiration of God, and holy men moved as they were moved by the Holy Spirit to reveal the mind of God. Tune in again as we continue next Lord's Day. Thank you.